This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Me.
Let's all keep it down, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance. Yes. Thank you, class.
There is one short memo for Mr. Paul Harvey. A simple, sincere thank you, sir, for allowing this broadcaster the chance to realize a childhood dream. The privilege of sitting in this chair behind this microphone and announcing to the world, I'm Scott Shannon, in for Paul Harvey. Good day.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Wow. Boy, I got some.
Let me have your attention. Everyone, quiet down. I want all radios off instantaneously. All radios off.
Oh, my God, he's got phlegm.
That's driving me crazy.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, me too. A long
distance. And if you don't like it, Mr. Donnell, you can quit. Same goes for the rest of you. You've tried it your way for years. And your students can't even get past the minimum basic skills test. That means they can hardly read.
Well, what have we here? Don't call us
child. That was not funny. Don't you stop laughing. That ain't funny.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags. Hey. These kids are fags. I can't believe it. God damn it.
What is he, a faggot?
Would you stop with a fag stuff?
I think it's gay.
Everybody with the gang.
This radio extravaganza comes with a 100% no money back guarantee.
All right, this would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Check in with Britney Spears.
Get out of my face!
Britney! Here she is. Here she is one more time.
Get out of my face! From a friend
of a friend. Normal.
I'm not happy.
I'm not happy. Oh, here's the phone number, everybody.
Let's pick the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was funny.
That was very funny.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Hi there, Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Yeah.
Being careful is very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
I did you a favor, you do me a favor.
What do you want?
Honey, what? I've got to have some marijuana.
Right.
You rob.
Oh.
You whack. I hate you. I hate your big fat boss head ass.
That bitch!
That is so true, Dick.
There's Big Ass.
And now,
ladies and gentlemen,
Don and Mike!
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, this is Sugarloaf. And don't call us. We'll call you. Aren't you the lucky ones? Don and Mike Show, new episode on Tuesday. Phone number same as it was yesterday. 877-365-3636. That's the phone number. I'd like to start today's show like we did yesterday with a message that was left on my cell phone.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. Give me just a moment. You'll immediately understand.
Who doesn't like mail and messages?
Well, it's kind of funny, actually.
Depends on who it's from.
True. It's from a loved one.
Well, that's a good start. Usually.
My son called last night late, and he knows not to call unless it's an emergency.
Right.
So he calls the cell and leaves a message. Oh, I forgot the one.
My message this morning was from Tom Curine.
And it was? What happened?
That's all he said.
What happened? What, the weather guy, did he promise something?
That's what he didn't promise, you know.
Right.
When I looked out the window.
Surprise.
That was just a squall, though.
Yeah.
Nothing to really worry about.
Oh, it snowed where you lived. It didn't snow at all where
I
lived.
Oh, my God. Really? It didn't snow. It was white out where I lived.
Yeah.
I mean, for about 20 minutes, and then it was gone.
Howdy. I'm not here. Call it back.
Please enter your password.
There you go.
But they did a little backpedaling, which was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Always.
So I get this message this morning when I wake up.
Skipped message.
Hey, Pop. It's not really important. It is 12:32, and I am just watching Letterman on the TiVo. But it is really interesting. Caliendo's on, and he is doing an impression of Madden. And while he was saying, you don't really have to say anything while you say it, he went into some, like, Pinocchio spiel, and then he said, brr. And I swear to Christ, he says Don and Mike.
Uh-huh.
So I was actually gunning for the number one spot, the first one to tell you, unless you might have, you probably already knew. I don't know. But it is in the 49th minute.
Hey.
Call me in the morning when you get this, just because I'm interested about it. I hadn't heard about it.
Nice.
All right, Pop, bye.
He's looking out for you.
Funny.
Message deleted.
And it was clear.
So I called him this morning, you know, and I was able to say, hey, guess what?
Did you tell him that we arm wrestled him for it? that we wrestled him to, that we American gladiated him into it?
No, Frank did good. I was very pleased. Mm-hmm. Weren't you pleased? I mean, he threw it
delighted.
In.
Delighted. First time. I mean, first time clear as a bell. I mean, the one that was audible. He said he did it a couple of times. But the one that I heard, I almost sounded like Madden there. It was so clear.
There's
so
a guy who's honest. If he wasn't honest, he'd never be a real boy. Get swallowed by a whale. His nose would start to grow. And Geppetto would get sick.
There it is. Nice and loud and clear. That's all we wanted.
Uh-huh. And we were rapping with him about Pinocchio yesterday, about the joke about sitting on Pinocchio and telling lies.
And he did it with the applause. He was honest when he called us back that it might get obscured by the applause at the end because the audience thought that was really funny. Mm-hmm. And he threw it in there. He did exactly what he said he was going to do.
What a good guy Frank is.
There's a guy who's honest. If he wasn't honest, he'd never be a real boy. Get swallowed by a whale. His nose would start to grow. And Geppetto would get sick.
Beautiful. He's got Letterman laughing. He did it, and he did it without getting caught.
Right,
and I like that,
him.
Too.
Right.
Let's call him and tell
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. He will be very pleased with our reaction.
I would hope so.
And obviously it was top of mind for him.
Yeah.
And how often does that happen? I mean, we've had people do it, and we've had people say they were going to do it and not do it. Mm-hmm. So this is really he delivered on his promise.
We're calling him, bothering him right up until the moment.
You're harassing him, for God's sake.
Yes.
Hello?
Hey, Frank, it's Don and Mike.
We are grateful.
We love you, Frank.
We're applauding you. You aced it.
Yay, Frank.
It was done with such skill.
Seriously, Frank, that was that was perfect.
Well, I tell you, if you're really that excited, you would have called me during drive time.
Well, if you like, we'll call you back at 5:15.
He is always promoting,
happy.
Isn't he?
I am appreciative of everything. My brother was searching all over the internet. There's already posts with it all over the place.
Oh, hey, Frank, I got to tell you, my son, who's a fifth-year college senior down at Clemson, left me a message on my cell phone like at 12:30 saying, hey, Dad. Yeah, he doesn't get the show down there, so he had no idea what was going on. He said, hey, I was just watching Letterman, and Caliendo was on, and it sure did sound like he said Don and Mike right in the middle of his
Madden
thing.
Was no need to go back and replay it. I heard it loud and clear.
It was beautiful. Frank,
it was delightful.
We thank you, Frank.
And we actually appreciate the way you did it in that sneaky way, too, because you did it completely under the radar, but you did it so we could hear it. And I think that took a lot of skill, and you were thinking about it. And, you know, after our phone harassment of you yesterday, I think you're a stand-up guy, Frank.
Well, the funny thing was that if you notice, when I go into the Rome bit, I lose because he wants me to do Rome. So as I go into Rome, I did it again where I was wondering if you guys had heard when I did it. So I was wondering if I was going to – so I start fumbling around with words thinking, can I work – like, can I do like a Rome thing where I'm like, dear Dave, this is the greatest show I've ever done, signed Don and Mike or something like that. So that's going through my head going, no way can I do that. So I'm fumbling around trying to find the words and like, then I'll be called out.
Listen.
And you still killed on the show.
Yeah,
see, that's the thing. You still did a great job.
At Barclay.
Yeah.
That Barclay
is... It was a thing like if you didn't know to look for it, you would never know it was there.
That's true. But if you were looking for it, I mean, there was no waiting.
Wanted.
No waiting at all.
So, Frank, all we want to say first is thanks. Second, what time? Seriously, if you would like to come back on it, as you call it, prime time, if you would like to come back on and whore a little bit today, we'll open up the whore-o-matic for you. I mean, it's wide open.
Yeah,
Frank.
Because we owe you now. I mean, we're men of our word. I mean, we'll you know, harass you by telephone right up until, you know, 2 minutes before you go on the air on David Letterman. But you know, once you deliver for us, we're there for you.
We're here, so
You don't have whatever you guys want.
Well, listen, you know what? I know you're all about prime time. Why don't we put you on at now? You keep thinking, you think prime time is well, what time do you think it is? Like 5?
Or it doesn't matter because in so many places it's so bad all the time.
I keep telling you, research.
How about you guys splice together? And I say that meaning in the '70s, splice together a best of me on your show and play it so I sound even better than I'm going to.
Wow, you want a highlight reel, Frank? And then we mentioned at the end of it that you've added a show at the Warner Theater. Is that what you want to do?
No, whatever you guys don't have to do anything. It was fun to do, and honestly, I thought it was so funny that people even noticed it. And
Frank, I thought it was so great. Seriously, on behalf of everyone, seriously, today, are you still on the East Coast? You'd be available in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's prime time, 5:40 p.m. You're getting everybody that just got out of work at 5 o'clock and people that get out of work at 5:30 just get into their cars. We will call you back at 5:40 p.m. right after the 5:30 let out and get ready to whore it. If you are selling it, you better have it ready to announce.
Yeah. And Frank, really, I mean, we're expecting a total whore out. So get ready to sell
everything.
All right. Well,
yeah, that's okay. Right, Buzz. You're right. Everything, Frank. Not just the show, but you know, anything you're appearing on. You know, your CDs, anything you want to promote.
Frank, very seriously, your DVDs, everything. Our prices are insane.
That's right.
Because we are having a whore it out for you.
Colleges, you want your kids to get in? Anything, Frank? It's all there for you.
We'll call you back at 5:40, and we'll start the whoring.
Absolutely, I'm in for it.
All right, good man. Talk to you then. Thank you, Frank.
All right, thanks.
Bye, Frank.
Bye.
That's Frank Caliendo.
I hope he prepares some whoring.
You know, if he was one of those real, like, lounge comedians, which he's not, I think we woke him up.
I think you scare him a little bit.
A little? Just a wee bit.
Uh-huh. He was funny.
Well, it's our energy. You know, we hit that mark at 3 o'clock, and we're kind of ready to go.
He sent me an email this morning that says, hope you heard it, got it in once, et cetera, et cetera. Either way, I don't care. It's fun to be made fun of by those guys.
Oh, so good. Okay.
He enjoys it, but I do think you scare him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know what would be fun? Why don't you call him now? Just on your cell and just let us listen. He doesn't have to know that you're being heard on the air.
Okay.
Just call him back and tell him seriously what the gig is. Tell him, you know, just in case you were wondering, let him know. We love what he did, and seriously.
And we are men of our word, and we'd like the payback.
I think it'd be hilarious if he came on and all we did was really like a 15-minute infomercial.
Right.
With everything that Frank has ever. I mean, I don't care if he's going to be in Bangladesh doing a concert.
Exactly.
Right. You know, we want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let him know that. We're very serious.
I like the infomercial concept.
It's ringing.
You know, I go to a lot of, make it real, a real infomercial. I go to a lot of comedy shows and I'm just not satisfied. But every time I've gone to see Frank, it puts me in such a good mood that I'm in a good mood for the rest of the month.
It's changed your life.
And I found.
Voicemail.
And I found that when I'm feeling down, F Tony Robbins and his tapes. I put in the DVD of Frank at the Improv.
I actually watch my recordings of Frank TV on TBS.
All four of them?
All four of them. He was kind of a victim of the writer's strike.
I mean, there's a guy who's honest. If he wasn't honest, he'd never be a real boy. Get swallowed by a whale. His nose would start to grow. And Geppetto would get sick.
I love it with Letterman laughing in the background. Yeah. That's fun.
If you've got a minute and a half, you've got time to laugh.
Yes.
How can you not love that? So we'll get Frank back on, and we do. Thank him. That was really great. A very nice little inside joke.
It was wonderful, and I just love the way he accomplished it. It was fantastic.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hey guys, how cool was that? Oh. It was like I was like a kid.
Can you hold, please?
Yeah, we will give you a call in about 2.5 hours. And really, what we're looking for is like an infomercial.
Tell him anything he wants to sell.
Excellent. And the guys are really, really appreciative. Thanks so much for doing that last night. That was a lot of fun. So, yeah, everything. DVDs, CDs, you have T-shirts?
Any furniture he wants to sell?
How about like furniture?
Refrigerator.
I mean, secondhand furniture, just stuff you want. We could be like your eBay. We could
Craigslist.
Be your Craigslist. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
He's making his
Do you get the impression that maybe at this point, Rob's getting off the phone with him? He's saying, okay. Yeah, all right, all right. Jesus. Jeez.
I like the idea that you woke him.
Yeah.
I do.
Did he still sound sleepy?
Yeah, because his first thing he said was, did you call me before or after? So
really?
He wasn't sure if I had called before you talked to you guys or not.
We certainly don't know him like friends, but I would say in our limited meetings with him as acquaintances,
it's like everything.
Well, hold on. I've been to see him a couple of times.
No, but it's like everything. It's like everything. We love our friends. We don't have a lot of them, and we latch on to them.
I've seen him hawk his wares, and I believe once he wakes up from his whatever-induced coma it is.
Oh, he'll be ready to go in 2.5 hours,
when
an hour
he wakes up, it will be like he's waking up from the best WET dream he's ever
had.
Yeah,
maybe we got him in REM stage right now.
Probably. Because he's going to wake up, and he's going to go, oh, my, was that a dream, or wait, hold on. Was I dreaming? Did those dicks like what I did? And wait a minute, do I get to whore it out in prime time?
And then he'll be ready to go at that moment we call him. He's probably in a hotel room on the road, you know, just they got
surrounded
empty
by
empty bowls. All
surrounded by Asian hookers. Take out food
all over the place. Empty little bottles.
A big hookah in the corner.
Suki, give me the pillow.
He's got like some fishnet stockings draped around his armpits.
He's got that morning eyes. Got sleepers in his eyes, morning mouth, trench mouth.
It's like, God, what is that? It's some girl underneath the blanket.
Calls down to the front desk. This is Mr. Caliendo. Please put a do not disturb on my phone until 5 p.m.
Can you send housekeeping up to help me with this corpse?
I've stained the carpet.
Again.
Terribly sorry.
Hi there, Don and Mike. Thank you for waiting, because that was Frank on the telephone. Hello there. You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike. That was so cool, like on Christmas, waiting for Santa Claus, you know, when he came on and then he slips it in there. I feel like such a geek.
Yeah, and
so
that's
proud.
The neat thing about doing when you do a radio show, because everybody that listens, he's not just doing it for us, he's doing it for you guys. If you're listening to it, you're part of the secret,
right.
And that's got to make it a lot of fun to listen to.
Very nice. Very nice. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
I laugh so hard, I swear I'm going to buy every single thing that he promotes.
There it is.
When you guys call him.
Wow.
He delivered on his word.
Wait until you hear about all the snake oil he's got to sell, though. Just wait. Just wait until you hear it. Until you say you're going to buy everything.
Well, he's going to probably give his schedule, you know, for all around the country,
sure.
You know, so people can plan vacations around it.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Don, you're starting to scare him a little bit with the whore bit. I'm sensing the Leah Remini factor coming on.
There's always that danger.
A little bit. Tone it down.
Hey, listen, I'm not trying to scare him, for God's sakes.
We do that to every celebrity friend we have.
You just don't scare him.
We don't scare him all away. Look at Dick Van Patten.
Right. Hey, listen, I think once he wakes up, once he sobers up, he'll realize that you know, there was nothing but love there.
Mm-hmm. And Leah would be an extreme case. Leah was somebody that we really went too far with. And if we'd had to do it all over again, we wouldn't have gone that far.
Let me just say this about her. She deserved every bit of it.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole reason that it blew up is we went out to California just so we could accommodate her schedule to come on the show on a regular basis.
Leah Remini is the entire reason that they have that punchline to whatever joke. Well, she just wouldn't listen. So
she's not. Leah is not the prime example. She's a bad example.
Uh-huh.
There are plenty of good examples. Are there? I'm trying to think of other celebrity friends. We have lots of celebrity friends.
No, we don't.
Katie Kirk. Yeah, but it never was like Leah with Katie.
Hello there, Don and Mike. Oh, wow, that's loud. Hello.
Don and Mike, I love you guys. Man, Super Bowl. I love you, Don. I love your country, Mike. I love everything about you, Omada. What do you say? I love America.
Wow.
Right on.
America.
I heard Johnny, Super Bowl in there.
Johnny Red, White, and Blue. He loves America.
Wow.
He loves the Super Bowl.
I kiss the ground. I left Pakistan 20 years ago. I love America. I kiss the ground every day I wake up. I listen to Don and Mike. Goodbye.
All right. No matter how much you say, we still would have to check you for explosives.
And every time I go to Pakistan now, I'm going to say, no sunroofs.
Mm-hmm. And Frank will be appearing there, I believe, in late 2008 in his Pakistani tour.
because I'm a smoker and I like to have the sunroof to get the cigar going. But
you don't stand outside smoking your cigar. You just flick your ashes out there.
Only when the fans are around, Mike.
Now, what's the first? What's the worst that could happen? You flick your ash out the cigar and somebody shoots the tip of your finger off?
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hi there.
I was actually, see, I always, every day, you know, I watch a different Family Guy episode on TBS.com, and I always see Frank TV, and I was just never motivated to go there. I always thought, like, maybe sometime I should.
Uh-huh.
Never did it, and now, like, I want to.
Gee, this would be perfect about 2 hours from now, because that sounds like a testimonial and an infomercial right there.
For Frank, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Hell yeah, then I'll call back in 2 hours.
Okay, good.
Good. You know, when we get him on, really, and if he's not still sleepy, what we should do is get the price of one of his items, like his DVD or his CD, and say, we'd have to do, what would you pay for this CD? Not $25, not $10, not $9.99, $8.99 for Frank Caliendo.
And I'm sitting here thinking, while we were talking there about Pakistan. And you know, the lady,
I like when you say Afghanistan and Pakistan.
And the lady who stood up in the bang bang, and the guy said, well, it was because she stood up in the whole thing.
Right.
And that we're more or less, you know, trivializing it now because it's past. I was wondering, perhaps in the past, how long was it before they started making jokes about Lincoln? I mean, I know it's a different age.
Well, the radio shows back then were not. There were shock jocks. They just
were no shock jocks back then. Like they just,
oh, there were. You just had to find them.
No, they just played standards.
No. The shock jocks.
They just played fife and drum music.
No, the shock jocks existed. I've been to Gettysburg many times, and the shock jocks existed in the town square.
Remember Ulysses S. Dixon?
Ulysses Dixon, Shadow Grant, Hollywood Lee. Sherman in the morning.
Kid Sherman.
J-I-D-D Sherman.
It's the Stonewall Gang. How you doing? Yes, Sheree.
Good morning, Gettysburg. Mr. Stonewall. Hey, Mrs. Lincoln.
Stonewall, you walked on that one.
Stonewall in the morning. Good morning. Hey, besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play?
Oh, Stonewall.
320.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful.
Stonewall. Wow.
Oh, Stone.
Oh, man. Man, I tell you, I'd like to get some of those revolutionary ladies down here to get naked. Ooh, boy, that would be fun. Man. I will give a brand new cow to the first listener. What would you do for a brand new milking cow?
but they didn't goof on it back then. It's not until now that you goof on it.
Do we really know, though, like in the taverns and the pubs, what they goofed on back
then? Well,
let's
even move it into more modern times. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, okay, listen, no one likes talking. Assassinations are not a good topic.
No, not at all.
To start a radio show with.
No.
Okay. But like back in your fun-loving 60s, you didn't have, you know.
What the hell is the fact for?
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second.
What?
That's Joe, what's his name?
Oh, Joe Crazy Clark. Joe Clark.
Crazy Joe, right.
Wipe out.
Crazy 560 KLIF in Dallas, Texas. Is that brain on the front of that car? Are you just glad to see me, huh?
No, that wouldn't have worked in the 60s.
No,
way.
Well.
Also, in the 40s, you weren't making polio jokes about Roosevelt.
Right. Well, nobody even knew.
They knew after he died.
It was a secret,
they
though,
knew after he died, but they didn't know when he was president.
Well, I mean, you could do it in the late 40s. Like Truman.
Oh, late 40s. The best mix of the late 40s, the early 50s, and the mid-50s.
I guess, seriously, they won't be making JFK jokes, as awful as they sound, until at least 200 years have passed, because that seems to be the statute of limitations on Lincoln jokes.
To the extent where now Lincoln jokes are just kind of, you can throw out a Lincoln joke, it's not a big deal. Still, you know, you'll occasionally hear a back into the left joke when it comes to the conspiracy theories about Kennedy, but not the same way that Lincoln jokes are made.
Johnny and Ed.
But see, the Bhutto factor over in Pakistan.
That's
not
changed
only,
everything. It's a whole new world now,
Mike. Yeah, but the thing is, you're talking about the foreign leader. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the foreign leader and not necessarily the beloved foreign leader.
Yeah, very far away.
Right.
So I think that you were distanced from
you
that.
You didn't hear a lot of Anwar Sadat jokes, okay? Because he was kind of a...
You weren't at my house.
He was a beloved leader.
You never smelled that rug he had on his head. You'd laugh. whatever it was.
What's that? You mean
the
turban?
Towel. Yeah, the towel.
So he didn't wear a turban. He was bald.
He walked.
He was a bald. He occasionally wore a military hat.
Didn't he have a funny hat that he wore sometimes?
Not to Sadat. I don't remember him. He might have, though, because he was president of Egypt.
I mean,
so.
I remember him not with, it's not a towel, more like, I don't want to say like a Burger King hat, but like
are
a
you
crown?
Sure you're talking about Sadat, or are you talking about the other guy, Yasser Arafat?
Oh, Yasser, that's my Arafat.
You're talking about Yasser Arafat.
Right. That's right. Okay.
Now, he's a different story. He was a terrorist. You could make fun of him.
The guy you're talking about was...
Anwar Sadat was kind of a, known as a man that pursued world peace.
Right.
You see? And he would occasionally wear the military hat, but he was a bald guy.
Like Castro style, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Military style?
Yeah, occasionally, when he'd go to, in fact, I think when he was assassinated, he was at a military parade.
Anwar
Sadat
is a dude that would wear, like, the checker stuff and the rags around his head, right? Right? Like
he would. Anwar Sadat would wear the standard business suit when he was like coming to the United States and stuff like that. The guy you're talking about, Yasser Arafat, would always be in like the Castro uniform,
mm-hmm.
and he'd wear the he'd have the thing around. I wish there was a name for that. I wish I was bright enough to
That's
know the
I
name.
I just said rug because I don't
it,
know.
It
what
was
you
the
call
thing
it.
That the Arabs wear. You know, it's the Palestinian head wrap thing.
Exactly.
That he wears. It's not a turban, but there's got to be a name.
Either is it a derby?
Either way, I bet it smells. No matter who you are, no matter where you're with that thing, you got to launder that thing all the time.
Well, it'd be like taking somebody's baseball cap off that wears it all day long.
Ew.
But he wears it like continuously.
And it's hot over there.
I wonder if he had two or three.
Probably.
Rotate them?
Sure.
I would imagine to be like underpants, right?
You know, I'm thinking about it right now because you're seeing the Bush over in Saudi Arabia, and he's there with the prince. You know, and those guys are wearing they go all out. They wear the whole towel.
Now, does Bush wear? Does Bush wear the funny clothes when he goes over there, or does he?
Not when he goes over there, but he seems to dress down. He seems to dress casually when he's over there.
You see him with the sword?
Oh, I didn't see him with a sword.
He had to take a ceremonial walk over there, and he had to carry his sword. It looked like he was playing pirate.
Did he do the bush walk?
He always does.
Those hands down at the side that kind of bow out like that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I am going to walk now.
Now, Castro, we can make fun of the second he dies.
Right.
Well, Castro has gone from, the revolutionary leader with the full military uniform to now you see Castro, and he's wearing a jumpsuit. He's wearing one of those little track outfits.
Yeah, it's like a Junior Soprano suit that he's got
exactly what he's wearing. He's in that all the time. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it perhaps an American company?
I think it's like Puma or something.
You think it's Puma?
And isn't there also the chance with Castro that it's to a certain extent like Weekend at Bernie's? That
yeah,
because
you only
see like
absolutely
you see like still pictures of him.
Yeah, you never know
playing poker.
He could be right. We could be talking 2 months, 2-3 months gone. That would be funny. So how do you feel? And what do you call him, Mr. Dictator? Mr. Dictator, how do you feel about Cuba right now?
Things are great. Things are great. They could not be better. And somebody's manipulating his mouth back there.
I love when they show Cuba. Like, the cars seriously are like old-ass Russian cars.
Yeah, and I really hope that when Castro
the worst vehicles ever.
When Castro eventually kicks the bucket, I want it to be like the second-to-last scene in The Godfather 2. You know, where you get to go back there with Fredo, and Fredo takes you to those wonderful shows that they had back then, with the lady that comes out and she's tied to the pole.
That'd
and then
be
the
nice.
Big guy comes out.
Like last year when they really thought he was about to die,
right.
Weren't they bracing for like riots and stuff
they
in Miami?
They had big rallies, in South Florida. Yeah. With people that it was just like Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, just like waiting for him to die.
Are they so repressed that they don't get the satellite TVs down there? Because I think it would kill them just to see it. You know, you see your 10th car commercial and you're living in Cuba, you got to be going ballistic.
They don't see that stuff.
They don't see that at all.
I bet they have a few dishes
in. They get like one channel. They get like whatever
get logo.
I think Buzz is right, and I think it's filtered. So they probably never see like, an ad for the new Chevy Malibu.
In fact, you may remember a recent controversy where the U.S. Embassy there, or whatever building we have there, put up one of those crawl signs around the top of the building so they could deliver uncensored news from us to the people of Cuba.
It's amazing because it's, hey, what it is really is it's another, you know, hot Caribbean country where you could party.
Yeah.
You know, and I just hope it opens up.
With gambling.
Just think about you. How long before you went down there when it got legal? You'd be Mr. Cigar Man. You'd be down there in a half an hour.
Latina. I lived down there by myself, a 1947 Russian ruble or whatever that car is.
Sure. Just smoke cigars and go fishing all day.
By myself, 25-cent cigars and 25-cent espressos.
We Don and I have both had an acquaintance that has occasionally given us the opportunity to take a little side trip down to Cuba.
But
we've always turned him down.
Every time he offers, Mike and I picture, here's how it ends up.
Mm-hmm.
Him on his fancy boat with his captain's hat, uh-huh, riding away, and Mike and I in jail in Cuba, right, living out a scene from Midnight Express.
Uh-huh. Either that scenario or halfway back, all of us getting raped by pirates. Those are the two scenarios. See, you do the one where we don't get out of Cuba. I do the one where on the high seas.
No, you're just fantasizing.
On the high seas, we are, we're attacked.
Well, part of the deal with this guy is every time that he's brought this up to us, we say, well, how do you get into Cuba? And he says, well, you take your boat down there and you wave at the guy and you get in and, you know. And aren't you like me? You feel like, okay, well, maybe for him, with his captain's hat and his mimosa and his scarf.
Yeah, and he'd have two glasses of, like, Chardonnay. Which for him completely knocks him out of the running. And then halfway down there, it's like, you know, he'd be talking to some Cuban babe in the bar going, you are beautiful. And then her father, like the Don Juan of the, you know, the Don of the town.
And what I picture is, as you and I are being taken away from making a joke or something, you know,
marched
like,
away.
Crying.
Something like that. Like, you know,
you know, the whole army patrol comes in.
You were speculating as to what bra size this woman wears? Yeah. And the whole time we're being drug away, he's sitting there at the bar and he says, hey, guys, don't you have one of these? And it's the little card that you get from the United States.
Safe immunity card. Meanwhile, we're hauled off to jail and he points at me. And you, gordito, what were you saying about the cars are better in the United States and Estados Unidos? Get into jail. And then, right, you and I would be sitting there with reenacting a scene from Midnight Express. It would be our
either that or
give me a break.
Either that or it'd be I know it's the plot of more than one awful movie, but we would have to get back into America and we'd be like at the border,
right,
with thousands of illegal aliens going, we're the real deal.
Yeah, right. I mean, and we would be dehydrated because we would come across on a, you know, on like bamboo and coconuts.
On a raft.
We'd be floating across the sea, and we would have, you know, lost a tremendous amount of weight. And, of course, we would pretend to be looking like Cubans. And that in and of itself would make quite a movie.
On the ride over, who knows, if we were there long enough, maybe we would have families.
Yeah. Oh, another probably. Wife and children down there.
Make right. friends.
You'd each absolutely. Have wives named Maria.
Maria. Of course, Maria.
I think they're all named Maria. I think right. that's the rule. Maria,
we'd get home and we'd rent every Andy Garcia movie ever made. Because doesn't he? He makes a lot of movies about Cuba.
Yeah, yeah. I think he is likes, Cuban,
He
right?
is Cuban, yes. Yeah. I think he's Cuban-American.
This cat that we're talking about, who incidentally is, watch out for this, a lawyer.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he throws this out.
I haven't spoken to him in months.
He throws this out all the time, whenever he talks to Mike or I. You know, we really sometimes, and he makes it like it's nothing. Here's what we do. We fly down to Florida, lickety-split. Mm-hmm. We jump in my boat. It's off to Havana, Cuba for some cigars and some fine drinks. Back on the boat, and then you're back in your bed by midnight at night.
Yeah, and I know him well enough to know that wouldn't be true. And I've seen his behavior with international relations. Like at his birthday party one night, this is years ago, where he's sitting there with 11 bottles of Dom Perignon talking to 15 women from the Nigerian embassy. Just like nose to nose going, you are gorgeous.
That's a party.
You are gorgeous. And then it came time, and tab time came along, you know, to pay the bill,
right.
And he'd already left.
Oh.
So we were stuck with his birthday party Dom Perignon bill.
That's kind of the guy's standard move.
Oh, my God. And so the bottom line is we would not feel safe.
No.
You know, going through the out of the Gulf of Mexico into Cuba.
Do you know, the first time he brought it up, I remember saying to him, so do I need a passport? He's like, do you have a driver's license? I'm like, yeah. He said, you're cool.
Yeah, and that was the whole attitude. You know, it's just like, well, look, we really don't have diplomatic relations. Isn't it kind of tense? They shoot planes down. Don't worry, my captain. He knows people.
You guys will be fine.
And then I do worry about, because you hear it all the time. You hear it with boats going out of Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas. pirates. You know, where you'll see this this 35-foot speedboat with twin outboards, and it's going around in a circle. Arr. And you know what? They never find the dudes.
But they'd be all like Johnny Depp.
Right,
or Sweeney Todd, or whatever he is.
Yeah, be real pirates too. Well, like we'd be attacked. We'd be in a fishing boat, and the the boat that would run us down would have sails.
Yo ho, Doug is the lawyer. Who are the two big fat guys? Hey, bring them over here.
Army Hardy, you could feed my whole crew. And then they all go, yeah, feed the whole crew.
Sodomy, we want to sodomize.
You know, it seems like it's a little body of water. It's just a tiny body of water between Cuba and the end of Florida. But, you know, the fact is, a lot can happen in that time.
Okay, we got to do this now so we can do more later. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.